Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
I have a text here that says, we were totally glued to Obituary last year. Big fans. One of the best series I've ever seen. Absolutely loved it. Agree with you. It's like Dexter, but without the gore. Well, it's also, you know, Dexter didn't have the comedy, which is very much in this. And Obituary is back. It's back tomorrow night. If you're not familiar with it, it's a small Irish town. Young woman becomes an obituary for the local paper. Blood ensues. We're joined by the star, who you'll know from other things like The Dry and Bodkin as well. Siobhan Cullen, live from London. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you? Are you in good form now?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, I'm very well.
I always worried about actors on a Monday morning, but already you're very bright sounding.
Good, glad to hear it.
Come here. Your character becomes an obituary for the local paper. Introduce the character for anyone who may not be familiar.
Yeah, Elvira is a young woman who, I suppose first and foremost, her love is for literature and writing and has always had her eyes set on the job of the local obituarist. And when she eventually lands that gig, she also discovers that she has a real penchant for death and for specifically killing. And when, I suppose, the death dries up in her small village, she has to take matters into her own hands.
I love that Elvira has an inside voice as well that only she hears. And
yes,
that must be quite difficult to do because you have to pause and look like you're thinking but not look like you're thinking.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose it's kind of double the lines to learn as well. But it's a great device that we have. And yeah, I suppose it, with any part you play, you're always playing and thinking the subtext. So it's just a great insight for the audience to get to actually hear what our, you know, the protagonist is really thinking.
Which are dark thoughts usually, where she just
wants
to kill everybody, basically, if they're even slightly annoying her. Come here, is there more death now in this one? Have you ramped it up for season two?
We have, yeah. But there's not just from Elvira. We also have another killer on the loose in Kilraven, which adds a real element of excitement to the series.
That was kind of a scary moment. I'm not giving anything away, but it's quite a chilling moment when that character pops up.
Also
new characters appearing.
Yes, we have the brilliant Murray Tyres playing an amazing character, larger than life, Vivian Birch. And Murray just takes her on with such energy and aplomb. And she's, a whirlwind in Kilraven and on the screen.
Is she kind of a nepo baby tyrant?
You've nailed it. Yeah, that's exactly it. And infuriating for Elvira. Elvira can't stand her from the get-go. So it's a lovely element of competition between the two of them and conflict, which is great.
And we're with Elvira all the way.
I hope so. I certainly am.
The love interest from season one is now established and it's introduced and it's kind of there. But there's also competition going on here as well.
Yes. So Emerson, played by Ronan Raftery, Elvira and himself are in a far more settled place. And I think the addition of Vivian, who likes to keep things lively in the office, introduces a bit of competition between the two of them, which is very exciting to play because sort of each one knows something that the other doesn't, which is a lot of fun and gets them both in a bit of trouble.
I presume I'm just assuming all actors know each other now, particularly the Irish talent doing things. Did you and Murray Tyres, did you know each other?
No, actually, surprisingly, we didn't. I mean, of course I knew of her and we have lots of mutual friends and we live very close to each other in London. So when we first met, it was sort of like meeting an old pal because we all know the same people and it was, so we quickly became kind of fast friends.
Really?
But we hadn't actually met until she'd been cast and then we actually bumped into each other at a play before we started filming over here and it was sort of spotting each other across a crowded room and like, oh my God, you're going to be Vivian. It was lovely.
We're enjoying her in our house in the Walsh Sisters at the moment.
Oh, she's so brilliant.
But she's unrecognisable, the two characters.
Totally. And when we started filming Obituary, I started watching her in Extraordinary. So I kind of became a bit of a fangirl. So I'd be watching it when I go home after filming at night and then coming in and seeing her in the morning and being like, come here, can we talk about that scene? So it was really, really brilliant, yeah.
Talk to us about the costuming in this show, because I'm fascinated, because it adds kind of surreality to the whole comedy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's such a useful artistic contribution. So we have an amazing costume designer, Suzanne Keogh, and Jenny Nolan, and they are just so talented. It was, for me, that kind of walking into my very first fitting with Suzanne was like the final sort of jigsaw piece falling into place. When I saw like the rail of costumes, I just had that thought, oh, that's who Elvira is.
Right.
Especially for Elvira, she's so, her silhouette and her clothes are quite, you know, iconic and unique. So it's an incredibly useful part for me anyway. And I think also visually seeing, you know, her set up against someone like Vivian, who is, her style is completely different. And I think it's, as a storytelling device, it's very helpful.
It is. Elvira Clark, we were having a debate this morning about the killings that she's done in season one. They're not necessarily terrible people, but they're sort of annoying, satisfying killings.
Mm.
How do you describe it?
Yeah, well, I think in order to sort of live this life that she's set out for herself, she's created some rules to stick by, to sort of morally justify her actions. And one of them being, I think that, you know, they can only be sort of people that she deems worthy of death. Be that, you know, someone that she's had her eye on who's behaving suspiciously, or especially in season one, her dad was sort of like her moral compass and was directing her subtly towards those who could have, you know, done with a push off a cliff or a knife in the back. She does have some sort of some ethics.
I hear you have a dark side to you too. What is this about you prowling around graveyards?
I think I need to clear this up.
Please do.
I'd like it to be known that I don't just hang around graveyards, but I have a dog and that dog needs to be walked twice a day, and you get sick of the same old routes. And over here in London, same as in Dublin, we have really gorgeous old cemeteries and graveyards that are open to the public and are a lovely walk, and you get to, you know, read some of the headstones, get a slice of history, and I just think they're really
lovely places, because they tend to have
peaceful
trees.
Places.
Yes, lots of greenery. It's calm.
Yeah, exactly.
Know, nobody's yelling in a cemetery.
Nobody's chatting.
Nobody's chatting. Some famous names, I think, in some of the cemeteries near you.
Yes, I'm near enough to Highgate Cemetery, so someone will take a trip up there, and I believe Karl Marx is buried there, and
George Michael and Karl Marx in the one place.
Exactly. What more could you ask
for? That is kind of, that's London. I don't know, he was buried there at all. Do you have a favourite cemetery you like wandering into?
Look, that'd be like choosing between my favourite children. I'm a fan of them all. The older, the better.
It's purely for the dog. Do you think about mortality and stuff like that afterwards?
I mean, I suppose you can't help but when you're reading all these stories and looking at the dates that people lived, I suppose you can't help but kind of ponder upon your own mortality a bit. But as I said, it's not something I dwell on. I'm a very cheery,
you could leave the character
person.
Yeah, leave the character behind at work.
I promise.
Go home cheerfully. I understand, for fun, you made mock obituaries for some of the production crew in the last series.
So we on Obituary, we shoot in two blocks. So after the first half of the series, you often lose your director and maybe your DOP and your first AD and stuff. So, as a little touch, instead of just a simple, you know, goodbye or thank you card, I wrote them a little obituary.
That was kind of a fun thing to do.
You must
be a fan of RIP.ie as well as coming around cemeteries.
That's my main resource, for this.
We'll have destroyed your brand by the end of this. What else are you working on? Because you're doing things far removed from Elvira Clark.
Definitely a shift of tone is I have a new series coming out on BBC early next year called Babies, which is about a couple facing pregnancy loss.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely something very different that we shot that actually right after Obituary. So that was sort of back to back. So that was nice to do something totally different. And we have The Dry season 3 coming out next year as well.
Wow.
Which we've just finished shooting. So yeah, lots of stuff kind of coming up in the pipeline.
You're non-stop. Everything's back to back.
It seems to be. I'm sure there'll be...
when you're in demand, these are good things.
I can't complain.
The drama is Babies, and it's a 6-part BBC series. So it's going to be... That's going to be heavy going, isn't it? It's going to be a lot of work.
Well, it's written and directed by Stefan Goloszewski, who is... of Mum and Marriage fame. So he is an amazing writer who sort of balances, kind of walks the thin line between comedy and tragedy so brilliantly. So yes, while it deals with something, you know, very serious and can be heavy at times, we still have lots of comedy and also lots of hope in that story. It's really beautiful.
Very good. That's going to really
incredibly
resonate.
Fulfilling to work on.
Yeah, that's going to resonate with a lot of people.
I hope so, yeah. It's a very sort of important story, I think. And, yeah, timely.
Talk to us about The Dry, because the character you play in that is great fun. Caroline.
A lot of fun playing Caroline Sheridan, yeah. The Dry is brilliant, and it's such a treat to get to return to... a gang like that, a cast like that, mm-hmm. to Nancy's writing and a part like that three times is just a total joy. And yeah, we finished shooting it just about 4 weeks ago, and it was such a lovely summer just getting to see everybody again. And Nancy has some amazing things in store for season 3. So it was, yeah, a total treat.
We're just blessed at the moment with the talent on screen, but we probably don't talk enough about the amazing writers, and Nancy Harris is right up there. I've been to some
Absolutely.
Of her plays, and obviously The Dry is such a hit.
Yeah, she's so incredibly talented. It's one of those jobs that you just can't wait to get the scripts, not because you're like, oh God, what am I going to be doing, or how many lines and scenes do I have? It's just, I want to know what happens next to the characters. As a selfish sort of, nearly as an audience member, I just cannot wait to see what she's cooked up.
And it must be a lovely buzz to go on the set of something that's now happening for a third time.
Absolutely. And you kind of become, I know it sounds cliche, but you become really close with your cast, yeah. especially when you're playing a family. Mm-hmm. And The Dry is like truly an ensemble show. So it's just so lovely that you get to kind of develop that personal and working relationship over such an extended period of time. Like, it's been nearly, you know, 4 years that we started that show. Right. So we've all gone through a lot, and we've all kind of grown, and it's become really close. And it's a lovely working environment.
So we expect season 3 next year, I'd imagine.
Yes, I believe so. Early next year, hopefully.
Bouncing between serious drama and comedy, do you have a preference now? You're certainly not being pigeonholed.
I mean, I suppose that's the dream, is to not get pigeonholed and to always be kind of challenged and stretching your abilities and being pushed. And I suppose that's just what I hope for, is that I would hope that none of my parts are ever the same. And I think also in a selfish way, if you are, you know, working back to back, it's often easier to do something that's totally different. So you're totally shaking off the previous character and then diving into something entirely new. So yeah, that's the type of work that I enjoy and would hope to kind of continue.
You do theatre as well, and I saw you were doing a show with Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
Now, he's a fella that he's absolutely amazing talent, but I also think someone should bring him down now to the Cobblestone Pub and shake him out a bit, cheer him up.
He's great crack.
Is he? Because he seems really austere and serious.
Yeah, I suppose you could. His talent and his presence can be quite, I suppose, intimidating, but he's really lovely. He's an incredibly generous actor. He's definitely up for, you know, a pint post show or it was a really lovely, lovely experience working with him.
Crack with Ralph Fiennes. You've achieved everything now.
Yeah, I can hang up the boots.
We love Marina Carr in this show, and I believe one of your first roles, if not the first role, was in one of her plays.
Yeah. My very first job was on a play called By the Bog of Cats, which sort of, just introduced me to theatre and acting as a profession. So it had quite an impact on me at a very young age. So yeah, I was very lucky to be involved in that.
And it was, you were very young. You were still in school.
I was 8 years old, yeah. And so, yeah, still in school, this sort of felt like I'd won the lottery, get to nip out of school early and go to my rehearsals and get to stay up late at night and get murdered on stage. It was brilliant, yeah.
And this was because the family were into amateur drama. This was in the blood.
Yeah, my parents are both involved in amateur theatre. So I suppose, and they, you know, have an appreciation for TV and film. So it was something that I suppose I grew up with a knowledge of, and going down to rehearsals with them, and you know, just having plays around the house. So it was something that, yeah, was encouraged and fostered, I suppose, from a young age.
So when you said you wanted to do drama in Trinity College, they were obviously going, yeah, we are all for this.
Well, I mean, I imagine looking back now, it was probably through gritted teeth, but certainly I never felt that. I only felt the encouragement. But I'm just imagining if I were to have a kid who told me, you know, I want to be an actor, I can imagine the doubts and concerns. But no, I was never made aware of them, for sure.
Because for them, drama was a hobby. I presume they did other things to make a living.
Yes, yeah, this is only sort of their, in their spare time. But I mean, we say spare time, amateur theatre takes up a lot of time.
Yeah,
they
does,
work
yeah.
for months because they all have other jobs and, you know, full-time jobs. And then they're going down to like the local community hall or whatever after work. It's quite an undertaking. So, yeah, whereas, you know, for a professional play, we might be rehearsing for 6 weeks. They might be rehearsing for, you know, 3-4 months. So it's, yeah, nothing to be balked at, but yeah, they do wonderful stuff in Ralph Arnhem Theatre Group.
You must have acted together, I'd say.
I've been roped into one or two of their plays. Maybe not to be repeated, but
that's
it's hard to keep the family dynamics at home. Yeah.
Listen, you're over in London and there's a huge bank of Irish people popping up in great things like yourself. Do you all hang out together and talk about crisp sandwiches and whatnot?
Oh, you've nailed it. That's all we do. Tato and Guinness.
Thursday night, table quiz.
I know, we do. We do have a lovely community over here. There are so many of us. And
who are you bumping into?
Well, I mean, the lovely thing about our job is that you kind of collect friends as you go. So, I mean, Chris Wally is a very good friend of mine. We worked together on Bodkin and The Sugar Wife and a play called Good Sex. And Owen Duffy is a very good friend of mine from The Dry. Tony O'Rourke. I mean, we've lots of gorgeous pals over here. So, yeah, it's lovely.
Is it necessary to be in London? Is it a place you have to be? You wouldn't make it in this town, in the fair city of Dublin?
No, I don't think that's the case anymore at all. I mean, there used to be sort of this idea that I think in the generation before me, it was you had to be in LA and then it was then you had to be in London. I don't think that exists anymore. I mean, especially for me, most of my work shoots in Ireland or has been shot in Ireland.
Yeah.
So I've been living here for, you know, 7 years now, and half of every one of those years I've spent in Ireland because of work. So I think especially with COVID, you can audition no matter where you are. You're sending self-tapes anyway. Nothing rarely shoots in London, so you're always kind of travelling regardless. So
you'll be coming home then?
Look, I'm sure my mum and dad are sick of me. I'm home all the time.
But obviously London is there, isn't it? Because there's a housing problem here, I'm presuming, is one of the many variations.
I'm sure that is, yeah, a massive factor. But, similarly over in London, things aren't excellent in that regard either. But as a city, it's brilliant. I mean, same thing with Dublin. There's so much amazing theatre and art to be seen all the time. But it's a vibrant city, and it's just kind of nice to be here. Yeah.
Well, you're busy. Come here, tell us, is there anything you're watching yourself at the moment that you could recommend for us that you're enjoying?
Oh, good question. I actually have been watching loads of films recently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've been kind of on a bit of a film binge, going watch some of the new stuff and also going back seeing any old stuff that I might have missed. I don't know if you've seen Steve on Netflix.
I saw this most watched thing on Netflix in Ireland at the moment. Yeah, Cillian Murphy's
teacher. It's absolutely
brilliant.
Yeah, it's. I'd highly recommend that. I loved that.
That's the one. Siobhan Cullen, thanks a million for the chat.
Thank you. Really enjoyed it.
We're delighted to see yourself as Alvira Clancy again for Series 2 of Obituary, which is back tomorrow night, 10:15 p.m. on RTE One Television and, of course, on the RTE Player. Good luck, Siobhan. Enjoy your day.
Cheers, you too.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Email oliver@rte.ie.